Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. I've got Ziggy Rodriguez here.
That's me.
And Venerable Tom Doran.
Hello.
Waiting on the miracle. Number 58, Tommy Dorian. Ryan.
Here we go.
You should never tell me things.
It's football time in America.
It is football time in America. Go Tigers. And hello, Bess, too. By the way, I once said go Tigers. For some reason, I thought of my wife. We're enjoying the current season.
We talked about her the other night.
Did you?
We were watching the band and like, oh, we can see Bess doing this right now. You know, when they get that one tune going and the band's dancing.
Yeah.
We were picturing her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hello,
Bess.
She had a good time. She is an official band nerd, and she's still playing. That's what's so great.
Well, now I have to say hi to the best, too. I don't want to be the only one on the show.
Well, that's kind of creepy. Don't say hi to my wife. No, she loves it when we say hi to her. So everyone out in radio land.
Everybody shout at your car stereo right now. Hi, Bess.
In fact, I'm going to ask everyone to pray a rosary for my wife, Bess. There you go. And that's kind of a segue into our topic today.
Yeah.
We have not. Happy month of the rosary, by the way.
That's right. Mm-hmm. October is that month. And it's an amazing, I don't know, the rosary is something that a lot of people, it is the most Catholic thing that you will see in the movies. If someone says, hey, this person's supposed to be a Catholic, okay, give them a rosary. and they may stick it around their neck, or it's hanging from the rear view, whatever. But they stick a rosary into the shot, and they'll go, "Oh, they're Catholics,
right?"
And it's something there. But even as
my brain actually went to the Titanic. Remember that one shot where they're all on their knees praying the rosary?
That's right.
That's where my brain went.
You're right. It's very Catholic, and but there's history behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in our month of October being the month of the Rosary and our month of Our Lady, one of the big points is, and we just recently had Our Lady Queen of the Rosary, October 7th, that feast day, which is an amazing story. We don't have time to go into all of it, but the Battle of Lepanto, if you're in Italy, it's Lepanto. That's how they said it on that little subway. Lepanto.
Okay.
But anyway, Lepanto is what I say. That battle was an amazing 1500s. The Muslims, the Ottoman Empire, is getting ready to take over the Mediterranean and basically clobber the Romans. And Pope Pius V, I believe, Pope Pius V asked everyone to pray the rosary. And then he sent his little Holy League force, you know, a certain number of boats. They were outnumbered like 10 to 1. I mean, we're talking about thousands and thousands of Turks here and getting ready to take over the Mediterranean. And he asked all the people, all the Christians, to pray the rosary for their success. And they won a resounding victory. Right, and so the Battle of Lepanto is this amazing, and that happened on October 7th in the 1500s, 1570 something, and so it's like October 7th is now the feast of the Holy Rosary because of the victory of the Rosary, and so I bring that up only because we need to understand that the Rosary is powerful. Mm-hmm. There is power, there is strength, there is supernatural strength. If you want to taste glory. You know, do it through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and it's amazing, how efficacious the Rosary can be in that way, and how it's affected the Church, right? I mean, we all think of these grandmothers sitting around praying rosaries, but it's like they're like superheroes. Mm-hmm. When they do that, and so that's a good sign. If your church has if they pray the Rosary before the Saturday, you know, 7 a.m. Mass or whatever. There's a bunch of old people go in there, pray the rosary before Mass. It's like there's some powerful stuff happening.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't done a top 10 show in a long time, so we're going to do a top 10 show.
Oh, should we do the jingle?
No. Okay, go ahead.
The top 10 list! Yeah!
Okay, I'm glad you did that. That's
right.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I feel like I thought maybe I missed that, but actually I haven't missed it. Okay, so we're just doing the top 10 ways to improve your experience of praying the rosary. You know, so these might be some different ideas because I didn't come up with them. So, Ziggy, we're going to credit you because you did this and said, like, well, this works for me. I saw some of these and I thought you were incorporating things that we like to incorporate in our top 10 list, which is good. But where you started was interesting. Read meditations by others. Like this is like what these other people might be saying about the mysteries of the rosary. And, you know, you think, I mean, there's a lot of material out there. There's a lot of reading material. And it's amazing how, if I'm preparing for a homily, if I'm preparing to do a talk, there's all kinds of incredible meditations about things that people have written. One of the great gifts that we have in the internet, as much as we want to say that, you know, the devil lives in the cell phone, the devil lives in the internet, you know, we want to say that, but sometimes at the other end of that is incredible. I mean, everyone can be self-published. There's a lot of stuff out there. There's a lot of really good Catholic content, and one of those things is these meditations about the various mysteries, where you can really dig deep into the mystery, and you'll read a meditation, then do that mystery, you know, do the like in that decade or whatever. It's amazing how it can open up.
Well, and I think for a lot of people, we might not have been instructed that, like, the mysteries are really at the heart of the rosary experience.
Yeah.
And if you're just, like, naming the rosary mystery and just going straight into the prayers, and you're not really trying to pour yourself into that mystery, to step into that mystery, you're really missing out on what the rosary can offer a person. But it's hard to just do that from scratch, you know? And so reading what others have said, and you know, the rosary's been a big part of a lot of people becoming saints, so it's not a shock that there are a lot of saints who have shared meditations on the rosary, you know? And
right.
Like one that had a huge impact on me, Mother Teresa, St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, she has some beautiful meditations on the rosary, but it doesn't have to be a saint. But exploring what others within the church have said, that can help when you are stepping into that space of reflecting upon a mystery. It can help you zero in on aspects of the mystery that can help those mysteries give you spiritual life and grace.
Now, that's the first thing on your list. Second thing on your list is involves meditation as well, but that is different, a little bit different, silent meditation on the mysteries, right? I think far too often we don't spend enough time inviting ourselves into silence, sacred silence, and actually saying, Lord, you know, speak to me, or more, maybe to some degree more appropriately, you know, Blessed Mother, speak to me or speak through me or help me to see the wisdom, help me to see the beauty and the gift of this particular mystery.
No, I agree. And I think a lot of people might assume, well, I'll do silent meditation on other topics, maybe the Lectio Divina, but not the mysteries of the rosary, because it's like, hey, I got to say my 10 Hail Marys, and that's when I meditate upon those mysteries, and I'm not going to sit and meditate upon them otherwise. But if we look at what Our Lady of Fatima said, it's what she's asking us to do on First Saturday. You know, she asked us to set aside 15 minutes of reflecting upon the mysteries of the rosary. Now, 15 minutes, at that time, there were 15 mysteries. Now, you know, if you want to include the luminous into that, then there's 20 mysteries. So if Our Lady of Fatima were coming today, she might have said, spend 20 minutes reflecting. You know, that would be 1 minute on each. Well, it could be either 1 minute on each mystery, or it could, you know, you're spending this, something Dr. Mark Ginter said a few years ago at a St. Leo's lunch gathering.
Okay.
When he came in as a guest, where he said that we can also choose from a first Saturday to the next first Saturday to say, like, okay, well, I'm going to begin with the Annunciation because that's the first joyful mystery. I'm going to spend all 15 minutes or all 20 minutes just on that meditation, on that mystery, and then I'm going to, the next month, I'll then move to the Visitation. You work your way through.
So there's a lot of different things you can do, and a lot of different ways to do it, but the key here is that you're actually opening yourself up
Yes.
Right? You're opening yourself up for inspiration.
Right.
Where you're not filling it. You're not writing a meditation.
Right.
You're receiving a meditation.
You're giving God room to move
yes.
through the intercession mm-hmm. of Our Lady to help bring these mysteries alive within your heart.
Well, and then also, so third on your list is one you kind of hinted at, where sometimes we just get through and we're just doing the Hail Marys and we're naming the rosary, the mystery, and then we do 10 Hail Marys, then we name the mystery, then we do 10 Hail Marys. I had a priest one time talk about calling it, that's called a machine gun rosary, right? And it's like, and I get that, where it's like rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat, you know, it's like you're just rattling off the mystery. So your number three in your list is don't rush through it.
Right.
Take time.
And I've heard some people call it a horse race as well.
A horse race. Yeah. Same thing. You know, it's the same thing. And it's like, you got to let there be time. Now, there is a regimental aspect to the rosary where it can have a drum beat, you know, mm-hmm. and it does keep going, but it doesn't have to go fast.
Right.
And the drum beat doesn't have to be fast, right? So you don't want to cram in a rosary. I take you all back to college days, or maybe high school days, and when I said cram, Tom's over there giggling already, going like, man, that just reminds me of every right. night before a test.
It's more like a flashback.
Well, yeah, we don't. if we don't have a, if you don't properly study, you're not going to do well on the test. And cramming
right.
is not necessarily going to help you.
Right.
And cramming a rosary in is not necessarily going to help you.
Helpful.
Yeah. You got to give room to the Spirit to work here. All right. So number four, you can spread your rosary across the day. This is one I've done before,
mm-hmm.
where you're not thinking like, all right, I have to get the rosary finished. And that machine gun rosary comment came from Father James Blunt a while back. He's also somebody who said, like, look, I just pray the rosary, and then when I get interrupted, I got interrupted. And I just either start again, or I start another rosary, or I pick up wherever I feel like picking up. And I'm just in a constant state of rosary. He prays thousands of rosaries. He's one of these guys, big believer in Mama Mary. He's a big... big fan, and so he's taught that it's like, it's not, you don't want to say like, kids, leave me alone, I'm finishing my rosary. It's like, okay, but you can also do this over the period of a day.
Oh yeah, and it can also be a good way to sort of experience those mysteries becoming integrated into your life, into your everyday life, and vice versa. You know, if you're opening up. You know, let's say with the Annunciation, or maybe it's a Tuesday, you're going to open up with the Agony in the Garden, and maybe you've got some stuff you're nervous about that day at work. You know, maybe there's been some things that are bothering you, but you want to let it go, and so you first just kind of spend some time with the Agony in the Garden, and maybe it's not just about saying those 10 Hail Marys, the one Our Father, 10 Hail Marys, and the Glory Be. You say you're Our Father, you say some Hail Marys, and then you just sort of make the choice to carry into your morning, you know, a reflection upon the Agony in the Garden, where over the course of the morning, you might have said many more than 10 Hail Marys, you know, and kind of letting yourself ebb and flow and go back to reflecting upon the Agony in the Garden. And then, you know, let the Spirit guide you. Let the Holy Spirit kind of let you know when it's time to shift to the next mystery. This is a way in which the Holy Spirit can work to integrate the mysteries into your day, and they can become alive to you and more personal to you and experiential to you. And so that's, you know, obviously it's good to sit and pray a rosary in the traditional manner, but if you're...
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, like, if you're really having... If it's just always dry for you and you're not experiencing the depth and meaning and beauty of the mysteries, like, alive within your heart, then maybe breaking out of that normal pattern and just sort of breaking up the rosary and sitting with the mysteries as a part of your day maybe that can help remedy that. Yeah. It's been effective for
this
me.
Won't work is in a group setting, right? It won't work if you have like the people before Mass, you know, gathered together, and it's like a bunch of wandering Jews, you know, just kind of like meandering all over the place and like, well, I'm just kind of meditating on this. And it's like, no, in a group, you're going to be more regimented. You're going to be following the pattern. That's going to be the traditional rosary in that way. But all these things so far really are inviting the Holy Spirit, inviting the Blessed Virgin, inviting sacred silence and the tempo to be set by someone other than you. So when you do that, be aware that God is going to intervene, that there is going to be something different that may happen. So being attentive, that's good. Now, this number five on your list, this one was inspired by Tom Dorrian.
Well, no, you know what's so funny about you saying that, and we haven't talked about this, but this is my favorite.
Is it really?
It is. It really
that
is.
That is awesome. I was going to make a joke about your singing.
Yeah, no, this is actually my favorite, but go ahead.
It's kind of my favorite,
No,
too.
I'm not I making the
it.
Joke.
Go ahead, make the joke. I want to hear it.
No, it is.
Radioland wants to hear this, Deacon Jeff.
I don't have a joke. I feel embarrassed now. I'm saddened. I need to pray a rosary. We're going to stop the show, and we're going to pray a rosary.
Let's sing it, shall we?
I have known a few people who can't sing.
Yeah.
However, I think singing the rosary, one time we invited a priest over to our house for dinner, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden he started singing the rosary to the kids. We had a bunch of little kids. It was beautiful.
Oh yeah.
And it was very moving. It was very informal. It wasn't like the whole rosary. And he started singing, and I'm like, I don't know where you got that. Mm-hmm. But that really was just impactful.
There's an app out there. I can't remember what the app is, but there's a couple of apps out there that have that, and it is beautiful.
Yeah.
And what you can do it is like choir. So they sing the first part, you sing the second part, or vice versa, right. Or all of it. It's really pretty. I like it.
In my experience, you sometimes find yourself tapping into the music of the rosary itself, you know, like as the Holy Spirit starts singing it within you as you're singing it. But the other thing I would say is, you know, we could point to things like there's the quote that's attributed to St. Augustine saying, like, singing is like praying twice. But ultimately what you're doing is you're pouring yourself into it. You're trying to create something beautiful with it, regardless of whether or not it is. Like, if you're just alone in your room or alone and you're praying the rosary and you're choosing to sing your Hail Marys, your mom, our Blessed Mother, she's watching. And I would just ask you to put yourself put it in her perspective, right? I mean, what mother doesn't love to hear, like, their little child sing to them, like, a song of how much they love, you know, if your child came in and sang, even if the child was off key and was like, I love you, Daddy, right. I love you, Daddy, you know, like.
Well, think about it. How many ugly pieces of art
yes.
has your mom put, like, with a magnet on the refrigerator?
Right.
And with pride, and they actually love that. And you look at it later, and you go, like, that's ugly. That's really bad. That's not, look how big the head is and the little hands are tiny and whatever. And it's like, but mom loves those things.
And that's what you're doing right here. You're singing to your mom. You're singing an I love you song to your mom, basically, you know, and asking her, inviting her into that moment so that you could both say I love you to God together.
And they're singing to her to pray for,
yes.
for you.
Now,
pray for us.
You may have to listen to a couple things. Tom, you were mentioned there are some things on there. Tom's going to sing for us.
He's not.
No, so I asked Tom how he does it, and he says, like, well, you know, basically I just do it to the tune of the Gilligan's Island thing. Hail Mary, full of grace. No, that's not what happens.
You know, Cindy wants us to dress up as that for Halloween.
Y'all should be the... Yeah,
no,
Gilligan.
I told her no.
Are you going to be Skipper?
No.
Skipper?
We're not, yeah, no, exactly.
All right, well, okay. I hope y'all work through that. So number six on your list, Ziggy, is doing a scriptural rosary. Now, this I love because I've loved scriptural rosaries because it goes into great detail and depth and helps you... It brings the scriptures alive in a way that's not just reading the Bible. Reading the Bible's great, but it's like it incorporates them into a ritual, into prayer, into a liturgy now, and you start to see the scriptures come alive, according to the mysteries. I did a rosary for deacons. I did my own rosary to help deacons pray. Now, it's based on the mysteries, but then I selected... I created some new mysteries, you know, just a little bit, but I was doing it for deacons as a spiritual help for deacons, and then scriptural verses that were associated with that action. that the deacons would have. But it's really, really helpful to see how the scripture really essentially informs and fills in all the cracks of something and just makes it a new go to new spiritual heights when you incorporate scripture into it.
Well, the vast majority of the mysteries are scripture scenes, you know,
yeah.
and the ones that aren't still have deep scriptural meaning. And so, yeah, taking the time, whether you're doing it personally and just sort of digging into the scriptures that are relevant to that particular mystery as you're praying it, or, you know, if you don't exactly know where to start, at almost every Catholic bookstore, if you go in and say, hey, I want to get the little scriptural rosary book, I mean, it's been around for decades, and it's a little book you can get for...
No pun intended.
What?
Been around for decades.
Oh, ha! I love it. That's good. I totally missed that. But, and you know, it's not too expensive at all. It's a little book. It can fit in your pocket. A lot of people love praying that one, too. There's not just one way of doing it, but if you're looking for a good way to start doing it...
Oh, they're all over the place.
Yes.
They're all over their place. And I've had that book. In fact, I've got it somewhere, but I've used it a couple times.
Yeah.
You just pull that out every once in a while, because it's like when you, and especially when you have a little extra time,
right.
And maybe when you're distracted, then you're letting the scripture kind of set the tone for the rosary, and it can actually take you to a place. So definitely a good one. We've actually done a show on this. Number seven you have here is Our Lady Undoer of Knots Novena.
Hey, by the way, I got an 11 if we have time at the end.
All right, we can have a bonus one.
Keep going.
Hopefully we'll make it.
He goes to 11.
That's right, he goes to 11. Exactly right. But Our Lady Undoer of Knots, we've done a show on that devotion. Let's remember that when we're praying a rosary, we're not just like giving a bouquet of roses to our Blessed Mother. We are. But at the end of the day, let's be honest, we're doing it because... A, we want to say I love you, but B, we might need something. And there's nothing wrong with needing things, needing intercession, needing help, needing guidance, needing to be healed. And Our Lady Undoer of Knots is an excellent novena to focus on undoing some big old knot you got in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and especially a knot within your heart, you know? I mean, because God receives so many prayers and Our Lady... on his behalf, you know, many entrust prayers to her for material things or material concerns, and I want this to happen or I want that to happen. But are we turning to God or turning to our Blessed Mother and asking for her intercession for what we might want within our heart? You know, what changes do we want? What graces do we want given to us? And she is very happy to obtain this word, and that's Our Lady Undoer of Knots is undoing the knots within our heart that interfere with our ability to receive grace. And so that can be a very powerful, and it's a rosary novena. That's the way I've always done it. You don't have to do it that way, but it can be a very powerful way of integrating the Our Lady Undoer of Knots prayers into your rosary for a novena. It can be life-changing in my experience.
Yeah, and if she can help... like this wayward little band of Christian boats, you know, pummel the Ottoman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she can help your whatever knot is tangled up. She can spend the time to patiently. If you've ever done things like out in the garage, I'm cleaning up now in the garage, and it's like I got these cords that are all just wrapped up and gnarled together, and it takes a while. You have to sit down, start going like, well, this goes to here, and hold this, pull this out here, and she can do that for you. Like, because mm-hmm. like when you talk about your heart, it's easy to kind of get lost in there because you can't see it. Mm. You just feel it. And it's something that she can help with. Number eight on your list, offer your rosary up for Mary's intentions. Now, I think this is good because a lot of times, like, I'm praying this rosary for, and then you kind of think like, well, I need an intention. And you may not stop and think about it enough. This has happened to me before, and it's like I'll sit there and think, well, like, what am I offering this Mass for? What am I offering this rosary for? What am I offering this thing for? What's my intention? And it might, and I'm like, well, I don't know, that Ziggy will grow his beard back. I'm offering this intention. I'm offering this intention for Tom's hair, you know? And it's like, and you start now. I'm being a little facetious here, but the point is sometimes we don't think through those intentions when not only do we want to turn over some of the spiritual warfare and some of the spiritual goods to Mary and to the saints and to to the Lord himself, you know, and let them do the heavy lifting. You know, in this situation, let's let them help us know what we should be praying for. Mm-hmm. So invite them into the process. Like, Mary, what intentions, what will you use this for? You may not even know what it is.
Right, just with an open, just complete openness. I'm just offering this, whatever your Immaculate Heart wants. I want to join you in praying for you, Mom.
Okay, so, and then also pray your rosary before the Blessed Sacrament, right in front of her son, right in the presence of her son. What a beautiful thing. That's your number 9. And your number 10 is our favorite. Yeah. Go to confession.
We should start that with as number 1.
It is. It's always our thing.
Cut to the chase.
What's your number 11?
You know what? Do the Latin variety. So I go to the, I use the Hallow app. And I pray along with them in the Latin form, and it is awesome. I love it.
There's something about Latin that takes you to a place, to a time, a time that's not like in history. Mm-mm. It's actually like in eternity.
Exactly.
And you think of it that way. A lot of people don't realize that Latin is the living language that the church uses to promulgate everything.
It's actually a completely different experience when you're doing this meditative praying like that. It's a completely different experience.
I've never tried that. That's something I should try. So looking at the top 10 ways to improve your experience of praying the rosary, this came from Ziggy. Number 1, read meditations by others. Number 2, silent meditation on the mysteries. Number 3, don't rush through your prayers. Number 4, you can spread your rosary across the day. Number 5, sing the rosary. Number 6, do a scriptural rosary. Number 7, Our Lady, Undoer of Knots Novena. Number 8, offer your rosary up for Mary's intentions. Number 9, pray your rosary before the Blessed Sacrament. And number 10, go to confession.
And the bonus?
And the bonus, of course, is do it in Latin.
Yeah.
Try it in Latin. I think these are beautiful things. And the most important thing, I think, of all is just have a relationship with the Blessed Virgin Mary. Right? Have a relationship with your mom, your spiritual mom, who wants to love you and wants to lead you to her son. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Amen. Thanks for listening to the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.